Give me your name, age, and hometown.
Robert Camp, age 23, age 83, Brookings, South Dakota.
Well, thank you for your service, and just give me your branch, rank, and the unit you served with.
I was in the 103rd Infantry Division, the Army, the 409 Regiment, Company G.
So, were you drafted, or how did you end up in World War II?
I was drafted. I was 18. I was out in near Seattle, Washington at the time. I didn't finish high school because our high school was mostly American Japanese. When they took them down to California, there weren't enough of the white people, students left to keep the high school open. So they closed the high school. And we either had a choice of going to Tacoma to work in the shipyards or go to Boeing in Seattle. I chose Boeing, and I worked on the B-29 when it was still a military secret, and on the B-17 bombers.
And so this was a school in Seattle and they just had to shut down.
Yes.
Was that kind of surprising or did people sort of expect that?
No, they expected that when they moved all the Japanese out to California. There wasn't enough left around to keep the school open.
Did some of your friends move away?
Oh, yes. And I saw some of them after World War II was over in Germany.
You ended up with a reunion over there. What was that reunion like?
That was a real surprise. My sergeant came and said that there were some fellas down at the mess hall that maybe I'd like to see. And I couldn't figure out who that could be. So I went down to the mess hall. Walked in there, there were five fellas sitting around the table drinking coffee, and one of them looked up and he saw me and he said, "Hey Bob, where have you been?" I went to school with him.
And how did he end up over there?
Well, they brought over the Japanese to help with finishing up with the against the Germans. And one of the Germans asked us, he said, "How come the Japanese are over here?" I said, "Well, didn't you know that they surrendered and they came over to help us beat the Germans?"
So that was it after the end of after VJ Day or whatever that would have been.
That was after European Day.
And okay, so now you're at Boeing in Seattle, and then what happened?
Then I was I volunteered and went to Fort Lewis to be inducted. They sent me down to San Diego for basic training. Then I went in 40-millimeter artillery aircraft. And then they sent me to El Paso, Texas in the for more training on the 40 millimeters. When I was there for 9 months, they sent us to, they loaded up all of our equipment on the train. We went to Los Angeles, loaded all of it on the boat, and we were headed for Kodiak Island in Alaska. But after we got everything loaded up, we thought we were going to Seattle and take a ferry over to Kodiak Island. Instead, we went back to Texas, and they transferred the entire battalion to the 103rd Infantry Division. Because they needed so many recruits, replacements after D-Day. So we went to New York City, got the ship, went over to Marseille, France. And there's where I got into the real war.
And who did you leave behind? Your family?
Yes. My older brother was in the Marines and he was in the South Pacific. And the rest of the family is were girls, and then I had a baby boy. The baby was a son or the brother.
Sure. How many sisters?
Have four sisters.
And what year was it then when you arrived in France?
November of 1944. Just a week before Thanksgiving is when I got wounded in combat.
Okay.
And I spent Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's in the 123rd General Hospital at Epinal, France.
And how did you get wounded?
I don't want to say it, huh? Shrapnel from German mortar shell. They hit us about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was a tree burst come down through the branches and all that. We were in the foxhole, and I came in one direction and my buddy came in the other direction. His head was to my feet, and shrapnel got me in the left thigh, got him in the head and killed him.
So he was right there.
Yes.
So that's something you've obviously lived with your whole life. Huh?
Right, right. So, and then after I joined my company again in January, I found out that I was the only one left of my squad of 15, and I was one of 25 out of the original company of 250. So they really threw the kitchen sink in. Oh, that was in the hospital.
Infantry is not a great place to be in a war like that, right?
No. I really wanted the artillery because I had always had trouble with spraining my left ankle. And I did. I didn't want the infantry because I knew that. And but I got into it anyway.
So after the invasion, they needed more ground troops to continue the push toward Germany.
Yes. When I got back to my company, we were on the east flank of the Battle of the Bulge, trying to hold the line so it didn't go any deeper.
They talked about that in the screening we watched about the war in Ken Burns' film. Do you think that it's probably true that most people don't realize just how horrific parts of World War II were?
No, they don't. They don't have any idea. And I'm glad to be able to help get that information out to them.
What was it like to be in that battle, to be on that front like that?
You never knew from one minute to the next what was going to happen. But we knew we were there for a purpose, and so we did what we were supposed to do, what we'd been trained to do.
What would you tell somebody who, to give them some sense of the brutality?
I would say that you had to be there to know how bad it really was. Some days you made maybe a half a mile. The next day you might go 25 miles, depending on the mood that the Germans were in, whether they were the hardcore Nazis or whether they were just the young kids. And oftentimes they gave up when they saw the Americans because they knew it wasn't worth keeping up with. The hardcore Nazis were the ones that we had the most trouble with.
What was it about the Americans? They knew that they had just entered the war and or they were, what would tell, explain that a little bit.
Well, the young ones really didn't know what it was all about. All they knew was that they were supposed to fight against the Americans because we were the invaders. And they didn't really know themselves why they were fighting.
What this buddy who I guess was probably in a foxhole or with a ditch with you?
We were in a slit trench.
Like they actually showed in the film?
Yes.
In these trenches?
Yes.
In the trench there. Had you known him for quite a long time, or was it a pretty recent friendship?
I'd known him for about 3 months, maybe, from the time I got into the 103rd Infantry. I got acquainted with him. But we didn't make too many friends because we never knew how long we were going to be with them. I did have two others that snipers shot. that were either on my left side or in front of me. And so I saw two of them that were killed.
Do you just have to block out what might happen and just take a step forward at a time?
Yes, we just had to put it out of our mind and keep on going because we didn't know what was around the next bend.
Other things that stand out about your service?
Yes, we originally were headed for Berlin, but they called us out and sent us down southeast through the Bavarian Alps over into Austria. And when we came into Innsbruck, Austria, all of the trucks ahead of us had their headlights on and we couldn't figure out why. When we got into Innsbruck, we found out that the peace treaty had been signed. And that's where we were when the war was over.
And what was your reaction?
Oh, we were happy. We were really thrilled about it, that we didn't have to walk anymore.
How much had you walked up to that point, do you think?
Oh, most of Germany. So that was the infantry, and so we just figured on that. We did ride piggyback on tanks part of the time when the Germans were too far ahead of us, and we finally caught up with them. But we walked most of the time. One interesting thing was that we came into a village, and we were going to find a place to stay for the night. And about dark, the Germans started shelling the village. So they pulled us back out of the village into the woods. But we took the feather ticks with us and went out into the forest, dug our slit trenches. We threw one feather tick in the bottom of the hole. We crawled in and pulled the other one in over the top of us. And the next morning, you looked out through the trees there and everything, all you could see was colored blankets and that. And the Stars and Stripes happened to get a hold of it, and they said, they called it feathered line foxholes. And so when we went back through the town the next that day, we just dumped all of the blankets in a house and let them sort them out who it belonged to.
And what is the story behind the Beretta?
When we were in Innsbruck, our company was assigned to guard a radio transmitter station, security guard on it. And alongside of the road coming up to the station, the road went on up into the mountains. And we were on a guard bridge that day, my buddy and I, and a German car came up the road, got to the bridge, so we stopped him to see what was going on, what he had, search him and that. And while my buddy was talking to the driver, I was looking in the back seat of the car. I had it piled up with overcoats and blankets. And I got to snooping underneath and found that he had six cases of pistols and six cases of ammunition that he was trying to get back up into the mountains where some of the Germans were still holding out. And we called the sergeant of the guard. He took the driver as a prisoner and called the MPs, and they came up and took him away. But we kept the six boxes of pistols that were still wrapped in grease. They were Italian Berettas that the Italians were supplying to the Germans during the war. And then there was six cases of ammunition, and we passed them out to everybody in the company. And what was left over, they took back down to the rest of them and let them have it. And so I brought that home with me as a souvenir from Austria.
And how would you say the war changed your life?
Well, it made me aware of some of the history of wars. My dad was in World War I in France, and so I had a little idea of what it was like. But it made me more of aware of our Christian heritage, of not only our own lives, but of America as a Christian nation. And this was our way of keeping it that way.
Were you able to hear from your family when you were stationed in France and Germany?
Yes, I would get letters from time to time from my dad and one or two others. I got some packages. Some of them were empty because they got torn open on the way. But yes, I did hear from them. When I got back to New York, I called my dad on the phone. And he asked me where I was, and I said, "Well, I'm in New York City." He said, "You can't be. I just got a letter from Germany." I said, "We beat it home." So that's the way I got mail, maybe once every 3 months.
And what was the reception like in New York?
Oh, it was real great. When we came into the New York Harbor and saw Statue of Liberty, there wasn't a dry eye on that boat. Everybody was crying. Everybody was happy to get back at home. When we got off the ship, some of us kissed the deck.
The Statue of Liberty, I guess, meant home and meant freedom.
Yes, it did, and we really loved it.
And you ended up with some injuries you still deal with today from the war.
Yes. When I got back up to my company, we were relieved on the line right away, and we were walking back to the rest area, and I found a patch of ice under the 3, 4 inches of snow, and slipped on the ice, fell, and twisted both knees. And I was off duty for 2 weeks and give them a kind of a chance to heal up. But then I was out on duty again. I was on behind the enemy lines, surveys, getting intelligence and that. But my knees gave me a lot of trouble. They were swelled up every night, and then by morning, well, they would back to normal. And so I've had trouble with them ever since.
The weather make them act up or anything like that?
Yes, the weather did has a lot to do with it.
Anything else come to mind? Anything else you want to share? Any thoughts about the whole experience?
We had a chaplain that was up with us on the front line most of the time. On Sundays, he would bring his Jeep up as close as he could to us, and he would go from one group to another, foxhole to foxhole, and give us a little sermonette and service communion. And we liked that very much. And he would pray with us.
Help you keep the faith, literally.
Right. And I think that was one reason why, when I got out of the army, that I decided to go to a Bible college and become a minister.
And where were you a minister then?
Iowa, Nebraska, Washington, and Southern California. We pastored, my wife and I pastored for 35 years. And then we taught in a Bible college for 5 years.
What's your wife's name?
Violet.
And what church?
Assemblies of God.
And you're retired now.
Yes, we're both retired. But we've been doing lay work as well, nursing home and retirement center, Sunday morning chapel time and that.
Very good.